Hello there, how have you been? I know I was supposed to be here last week. I was supposed to put something out last week, but I'm sorry. You really don't want to hear my excuse, so let's just, you know, forgive each other and move on. Yes, so I'll be talking about love languages this week, and I hope this becomes, this is exciting for you as it is for me, okay? So before I go ahead with talking about love language, I just wanted to give, like, you know, a preamble, and then we can, you know, do this together. Yeah. Getting to know a person in a romantic relationship is a gradual process. Please, before I go ahead, I just need you to know that this love language love languages do not apply to just relationships. It could be between, like, friends, whether besties, at your workplace, normal friends, girlfriends, boyfriends. I mean, boyfriends sound crazy, but like between guys, you know. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, or like it could be a platonic relationship. That's just what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I'm just talking plenty, sorry. Okay, so over time you learn more and more about them, including their likes and dislikes and how they think. So later on in a relationship, maybe you have wished your partner to read your mind and know what sets you off and what you respond well to. So that's sort of the idea behind the concept of the love language, or like love languages. They let you in on what makes your partner tick. The idea is we all express and feel love differently, okay? And understanding those differences can seriously help your relationship. In fact, it's like one of the simplest ways to improve it. So this term was actually coined by like a long-time relationship counselor, Gary Chapman. And then he wrote the book, The Five Love Languages, which I've read. Well, you really don't have to go ahead to read this book, because like what I'm about to say, like, really, you know, it just helps. And yeah, it's a pretty fluffy read overall though. But then there's a reason this whole love language thing has taken up, because it makes a lot of sense and it actually works. In fact, you don't really need to read the book, as I said earlier, to understand the concept. I hope I'm not talking too fast, God. Okay, well, it's fairly simple, and well, by the end of this podcast, you know, you would take a few things home so you'd understand most of what, like, you need to know. Well, the five love languages are pretty straightforward, but then here's a brief description of what each of them mean, okay? So firstly, words of affirmation, expressing affection, true words like spoken affection, praise or appreciation. Yeah, then acts of service, where actions rather than words are used to show and receive love. Then receiving gifts, okay? So gifting is like a symbol or is symbolic of love and affection, okay? Then quality time, where you express affection with undivided and undistracted attention. Then last but not the least, physical touch, which can range from having sex to holding hands to hugs and all. So with this love language, the speaker feels affection through physical touch, okay? So there's really no scientific like research behind Chapman's or Gary Chapman's theory, because it just makes sense, because it's so relatable, okay? It's obvious that we all show affection in different ways. This language is simply labeled those ways so that you can understand people a lot better, or like a little better, okay? So when you know what your partner does and doesn't care about, it's a pretty big eye-opener for you, okay? And yeah, because maybe you might think that your partner's love language is gifting or receiving gifts, and then get the person a gift and the person is like, oh, okay, thank you, or like, thanks, you know, like you don't feel like that excitement, and you feel like you're not even doing enough, okay? So when you like figure out that what your partner's love language is, then it makes things easier. And if your partner also sees that maybe gifting is your way of showing love, then he or she would appreciate you better. That's where communication comes in, okay? And as Chapman would point out, or as he points out in his book, there are like different dialects for each language too. For example, I'm just giving an example, okay? Let's say my primary language is quality time, where I can also express and feel affection through words of affirmation and then physical touch to some degree, okay? So on the flip side, it's useful to know how you don't express affection, so I can rank low on acts of service, and it helps to understand this as a blind spot. You can maybe a friend can offer to, you know, do me a favor, like drop me at the airport, or like take me to the market, or you know, that, and then I really not see it as a big deal, because maybe I might be terrible at like doing favors for people, and I just assume that it's really no big deal, so it doesn't matter to anyone else. But then, in short, just knowing what makes you tick and then what doesn't can help you empathize with people a lot better. I've also found out something else. I found out that the concept of love languages, okay, helps pretty much any relationship, as I said earlier, okay, not just romantic ones. So it's useful to understand what matters to people, because like there was a time like I used to be angry at a friend that she doesn't call, she doesn't text, but then whenever like we come together, like we hang out and all, would talk, and you know, and then she would tell me how much I mean to her, and then I actually feel reassured, okay. And then when she leaves again, or like when we are like far apart, she's now terrible again, like god. And it used to really hurt my feelings, but then I took my time to realize that her love language is like 100% words of affirmation, okay, and then 0% quality time. So well, it seems strange to me, but like we got to understand each other, and I think we got better, okay. So I'll be talking about physical touch now. So physical touch, see how everybody's ears hanging. So physical touch love language is like more about intimacy, okay. It could be holding hands, it could be laying your head on your partner's shoulder, or simply a hug, okay. Just like someone might feel loved after reading a note from their partner, another person may get that same feeling when their partner runs his or her hand through their hair. This hand through the hair gets it really gets, you know, it gets me, you know. Okay, so like in some degree or another, like we all need physical touch in our intimate relationships, but then for those whose primary love language is physical touch, it can be even more important. It can be tricky at times though, mostly because your partner may not understand what they want, and it may create some frustration and confusion. But by the time you communicate and all that, you'll see that this is what works for your partner. So this language is not actually all about the bedroom. A person whose primary language is, maybe a person might not actually be surprisingly very touchy. It could be hugs, it could be pats on the back, it could be holding hands and like thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulder or face. You know, they can all be ways to show excitement, concern, care and love. So physical presence and accessibility are crucial, okay, while neglect or abuse can be unforgivable and destructive. So physical touch fosters like a sense of security and belonging in any relationship. What did I say? In any relationship, okay. So I'm going to the next one now. Quality time might be the easiest language to understand, but it can also be one of the easiest to misinterpret. I hope you heard what I just read, what I just said. Okay, it might be the easiest language to understand, but it can also be one of the easiest to misinterpret. So if your partner's primary love language is quality time, it means that they feel loved the most when you spend quality time with them. No brainer, right? Not so fast, just chill. Being around them just won't cut, neither will the standard, you know, movie night. Why? Because quality time is way more than just time. It's attention, okay. I don't want to sound vulgar, but it's fucking attention. Yeah, I said it. In fact, this love language should probably be renamed as I think it should be renamed to quality attention, because but actually it doesn't sound good. So quality time, okay. Well, you have to be deliberate with your time. Like turning a suddenly open night or some random free block in the schedule into quality time may not work. Yes, spontaneity and, you know, adventure may be great, but individuals whose primary love language is quality time appreciate the effort and determination you spend into that time together. So if your quality time is dedicated and pre-planned, your partner will feel like that time is theirs. It shows that you are thinking of them and you want to give them their own special time. That special time was set aside for them and only them, okay. By doing so, you are like reinforcing the fact that they are most important. Not like when you are there, you are probably using your phone or you are looking at the ceiling and your partner is just there, you know, feeling lonely. I don't know, yeah, but I guess you get where I'm coming from. So you you spend some time planning something special and then you're on your phone the entire time. No! Fucking no! Yeah. So remember, more than the time, the attention is what's most important, okay? So if you are looking at your emails, you know, your phone has your attention. Your phone has your attention and then not your partner. So if you're watching TV out of the corner of your eye, you know, maybe you're watching a match. Yeah. Those sports players on your TV have your attention and not your partner. So quality time means like putting away the phone and clearing your brain of anything distracting so you can ensure that your partner is your number one focus. I feel like I'm shaking some tables right now, but yes, I just have to. Okay, it's the reason, you know, I'm here for you. Yeah, so you have to be affectionate too. You planned a killer night out together. Check that your phone is off and then you're totally ready for some, you know, one-on-one time. You hear me? One-on-one time. So yeah, so that one, you are good. Check. Now what? Well, be affectionate. You can't just be looking at your partner and be staring. Show your partner that you love them. Be playful, you know, tell them how much you care. Again, show them that they are your world. That attention will go a long way in helping them to affirm your love. What I just said now just got to me, my goodness. So like in the vernacular of quality time, nothing says I love you like full undivided attention. So being there for this type of person is critical, but really being there, like with the TV off, fork and knife down, and all chores and tasks on standby, makes your significant other feel truly special and loved. So distractions, postponed dates, or the failure to listen can be extremely hurtful, okay? So quality time also means sharing quality conversations and quality activities. Oh, I think this is my favorite. This is really my favorite. Okay, so we're going on a break. I really don't want this episode to be so lengthy and boring, you know, so I needed to, you know, listen to this one, digest it, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks, or if I'm so kind, I can just do it next week. Okay, so yeah, maybe like, you know, so that you all will forgive me for not putting out something last week so I can do something next week. Okay, so yeah, I'm ending with the quote of the week. So wait for the one who brings out the best in you, makes you smile even when you are sad. I think I need to take my time to read this. Okay, adores you and wants to show you off to the world. Oh, makes you want to be a better person, spend time with you even when you are busy, and most of all, wait for the one who loves you inside and out. We all deserve this. We all deserve this. Have a fruitful week. See you on the other side. Not like other side, but yeah. See you soon.